Teenage Sports with your host, Michael Barra. I have a guest on today, and one of my good friends. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Chance, and first things first, I would like to take credit for making the name. That was me. Thank you very much.
That is very true. So this is Chance. He knows a lot of baseball, just about as much as me. I figured it'd be really good to bring him on today. So first, not baseball. I want to talk about the XFL canceling. I don't know if they've officially canceled their league today, but I know they laid off everyone.
They have no plans to return, so.
And which absolutely sucks. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to one of the games, and I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. I wanted to see my Renegades hopefully go on to make a playoff push this next season, but I figured it was going to be tough for them to pull out of this coronavirus stuff.
Yeah, I mean, spring football has never had a very good reputation to start with, so, and having their season canceled halfway through surely didn't help.
Yeah. And another coronavirus thing, Chance. I have a question. Do you, and if MLB has come out and said that they want to try to have May baseball, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to try to push baseball into Arizona and try to play early. What do you think about that?
Without the fans, it's not baseball. I mean, you can watch people play the game and go back to, what was that, early 2010s, whenever the riots in Baltimore were going on and the Orioles had to play with nobody in the stadium. I mean, it was like watching golf. It was so, it was bland. It was boring. I mean, baseball without fans isn't baseball. So, in my opinion, they just need to wait it out and see what happens and just go with the flow. I mean, nobody has any idea what's going to happen and what's going on. So, I think they just need to take a chill pill with the whole everybody's playing in Arizona thing. I don't know.
I want baseball as much as the next guy. I mean, me and you both play baseball. I've been around baseball for years. I want baseball more than any other sport right now, but I don't want to see players get super sick because one player on their team gets it, and then people with underlying health issues like Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo, I believe, had cancer.
Yeah, he had cancer.
That is not something that you want to –
Yeah.
Like – if he gets sick, and you're not going to just – he's not going to just not play because he has that underlying condition, because then that's an imbalance to the team, because he's on that team, but he shouldn't have to worry about getting sick while playing.
Yeah, I think they just need to wait it out like everybody else.
Yeah, except for NFL is just trying to push on through, which is very interesting. They're trying to have their draft. They're still – I mean – gonna be interesting if that draft.
But I mean, the NFL's always been that way compared to any other sport. Their NFL Players Association is so much worse than the MLBs, NHLs, and NBAs. I think everybody can agree on that.
They do things different. They want their money. They're gonna go get their cash, and I mean, they want the eyes. They have sponsors they need that they can't bail out on. So I mean, they're just gonna keep pushing through. But let's get on into this. Me and Chance have our MLB division predictions today. Let's start with the AL East. My teams, and then we'll talk about – and then you can say your teams, and then we'll talk about it. Sound good?
All right. Sounds good.
So, number one, I have the Yankees. Number two, I have the Rays. Number three, I have the Blue Jays. Number four, I have the Red Sox. And number five, I have the Orioles.
Well, that was easy. Mine are the exact same.
Oh, okay. I did not expect that. I expected you to put the Red Sox higher.
No, the Red Sox, trading away Mookie, trading away David Price. I mean, they have JD Martinez, Chris Sale, and Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers. I mean,
they don't even have Chris Sale.
What?
Tommy John.
Oh, Tommy John. Dude, how can I forget? So, I mean, They're just not gonna compete the way that they have been the last couple of years. Going and winning the World Series in 2018. I think this is just their downfall. It happens to every team. It's to be expected.
And MLB managers definitely don't get the respect like an NFL coach does, because the NFL coach can like literally change a team And I don't think MLB managers do that as much. But them losing Alex Cora for a random dude, because he was a part of that Astros stuff, it definitely hurts them, I think.
I agree. Cora was a pretty good manager. I mean, obviously, he took the team and won a World Series. You know, that's not something that anybody can do.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big change for the Red Sox and Boston as a whole, because, I mean, Boston is a baseball town. You know, losing the heart of the team, you know, it's going to be huge.
I think we should actually talk about the wild cards during the division. Do you have any wild cards for this division?
Yeah, I have the Rays. Second in the wild card. So, road team in the wild card game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that team's always usually good. They got a really good head coach, really underrated head coach.
I agree.
I could be wrong about this, but I feel like they may have been the one to first start the opener. I could be wrong.
Yeah, last year they did. I think it was, no, it wasn't Jake. Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but. Yeah, they did start the opener last year. I mean, I think that's a pretty bold strategy, and I think it could pay off for them in the end.
I mean, I just think that they can't outspend anyone, just like the Athletics. So teams like that have to be more crafty and do different things to be able to win ball games. And
I mean, those are the teams that they make a movie out of, though. So
exactly.
The underdogs.
Underdogs. I don't have a wild card in this division. I think this division's going to be pretty good. I think the Blue Jays will be better. Obviously, the Red Sox are not too far away from a World Series. So
you got the Orioles.
Yeah. Orioles. I think I have them the worst team in the league.
It'll be neck and neck with them, the Marlins, and the Tigers.
Yeah, they're awful. I mean, they're so bad. But... yeah, so let's go on and move on to our AL Central. I have the Twins, the Indians, the White Sox, then the Indians, then the Royals, then the Tigers.
Dude, we're too smart. Same thing.
Same thing?
The Bomba Squad will reign. I mean, Nelson Cruz, Max Kepler, all those guys, they just hit so many home runs. And home runs is what wins baseball games in today's game.
It really is. It used to be your Ty Cobbs and little guys that just get on all the time. But now it's how far can I hit that baseball and how many times can I do it?
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz is like 40, too.
And he still hits tanks. He doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't. That's all he does is hit. So,
yeah.
You know, he'll be their DH. And they got Max Kepler and – Rosario and Garver.
Didn't they sign Donaldson?
They re-signed Donaldson. I mean, they'll be a fantastic team.
Jeez.
Yeah, definitely one to look out for. And they also have, you know, Odorizzi and Barrios and not the best starting rotation, but their pitching staff is definitely nothing to sleep on.
Good enough to get them the lead in the division. I have the Indians actually making a wild card in this division.
Do you have them in second or third?
I have them in second. I have them being the road team. Or not the Indians, sorry, the White Sox. Because I had White Sox second.
White Sox?
Yeah.
I have the White Sox third in the division, or in the wild card. But in the wild card, I did the Rays second and the White Sox third. And I drew a little circly arrow next to both of them. Because I think that those two teams are pretty much equal. And what it'll play down to is how good they can play on the road and injuries. Simple as that. Because everybody can play decent at the home with a healthy squad. Especially the Astros. If you can play good while your best guy is out and you're on the road, you'll be set. So, I mean, I think that's what the X factor is, playing on the road and playing with injuries for those two teams.
Now, we're both Rangers fans, both been lifelong Rangers fans. Why do you think the Indians gave up on Corey Kluber so fast? Because that team still is not that far away from contending. They're not tearing it all down.
They really aren't, and Corey Kluber is still very good. Yes, he's had his hiccups. He's had his bumps on the road. But, I mean, he's shown Cy Young caliber stuff his entire career. And he's been an Indian for his entire career. If I, you know, for being an Indians fan, I would just be, I would be, you know, sad. It'd be like, when the Rangers traded Ian Kinsler.
That would hurt.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's your guy. Him and Lindor have been their guys for as long as I can remember, honestly. And, you know, trading him for very, very, very little. I mean, the Rangers totally won that trade by a landslide, unless there's something that they know that we don't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really make a whole lot of baseball sense. It doesn't make a lot of marketing sense. It doesn't make a lot of sentimental sense. I honestly don't know.
It's weird to me.
Other than the salary dump excuse that they're using, that's the only reason I could think of.
Because when I go to look at their roster, they don't seem very – and that division still seems open to me because I think it's more open. Maybe – I think the AL East is probably more open than this division, but – because the White Sox are going to be a better team. They did a lot this
year. They traded for Nomar Mazara. Yeah.
They traded for – I'm going to miss Nomar. The more I see it, I'm going to miss him.
You know, I would have missed him 2 years ago. But this season, I think that he was a very movable player. You know, like if he's slumping, you could take him out of the lineup, put somebody else in, you wouldn't even notice. That's my opinion on Nomar. However, 2 years ago, definitely would have missed him.
That's true. He's very up and down, and
he is
not very consistent. But when he is doing good, he's doing very good. I mean, I think he's had months where he's been a top 10 in the league just for months, though.
And then you see his power. You know, he hit the longest home run last year, 505 feet.
Yeah.
So I mean, he has so much potential. Hopefully, he can figure it out in Chicago.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tigers in the last in this division, and then I think we both have Royals fourth. The Royals, fourth. Unfortunately, they had that drop off after their World Series.
Yeah, after 2015, you know, Moose, Hosmer, all those guys are gone. So,
I mean, with that small,
they're definitely in a rebuild.
Though, you can't really do much.
Yeah, they're definitely in a rebuild, but they're still better than the Tigers.
Yeah, Tigers are awful. I mean, they got aging Miggy.
Matthew Boyd's
actually decent.
He is good, and that's it. They have Nico Goodrum, who could be a star someday, but right now he'll be the show star. Improve. Yeah,
this dude's a goat in the game. But let's go ahead and move on to our AL West. So I was looking at this, and the more we talk, I have the Angels 1.
Wow.
Texas Rangers number 2. Astros 3. Athletics 4. Mariners 5.
Wow. Okay. I have the Athletics 1. The Astros 2. The Rangers 3. The Angels 4. And the Mariners 5.
All right. Well, we're going to have some talking points here. I had the Astros when I first put them in my second, but I can't morally do it to myself. I've never wanted to see someone not succeed so much in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I want them, like, if they all got in a bus accident and died, you know, that would be cool. But, you know, you take a look at their roster, they have the best roster. They have, you know, Springer, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, they are just Yordan. They are very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
But morale is a big thing in baseball. You go on a week, 2 week long road trip and everybody hates you. You're getting shit thrown at you on the bus. You're getting, you know, everybody's yelling at you. Everybody is booing every single batter. You cannot tell me that they are going to win games on the road. You know, if they win 27 games on the road, that's terrible. You know, and that's what I think is going to happen.
I couldn't agree anymore.
I can't see them.
Baseball is a winning mental anything. Sport. It is a mental sport, and if you aren't in the right mentality, I don't think that they are going to be able to succeed as much, even with that talented roster. They're almost as talented as the Dodgers, who I think are probably the most talented team.
And that's solely why I think they're second place, is because of their talent.
Yep.
But do I think they'll go far in the playoffs if they make the playoffs? No. I mean, they can't. You have to play on the road in the playoffs, and they just can't do it this year.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point to make. Reason I put Rangers there, obviously a little bias. I don't want to see the Astros be good. Now I have Athletics 4. Where do you have Athletics being number 1?
I have the Athletics number 1.
So what's your reasoning behind that?
They're just good. They are the smartest organization in the entire league. You can't tell, just because they don't win all the time does not mean that they are the most, doesn't mean that they're not the most smart, because they don't pay anybody. They don't pay a single person. They have Chris Davis, Matt Olson. I mean, they have a very underrated and talented roster, and they always seem to pull it out. You know, last year they made the wild card and lost at home. But I'm expecting breakout seasons from Olson and Chapman both. You know, Chapman has been the guy in Oakland. And I think that he's going to heat up his bat this year. You know, their management, their front office is going to have to make some moves. They're going to have to make at least some kind of a change if they want to go far. Because, I mean, you got to have at least a couple stars, and they really don't. But so, you know, maybe they make a big move at the trade deadline. If they can do that, I think they can pull out the win in the division.
I can definitely see where you're coming from. I mean, they got center fielder Ramon Liriano, the strongest arm probably in the major leagues.
Best arm in baseball, yeah.
And he doesn't really hit that poorly. Probably not as much as well as you'd want for your center fielder. But
you know, none of those guys hit poorly.
Yeah.
None of them hit off the charts, but if you can get all 9 of your everyday guys batting in the middle of the road, some higher, some lower, but if everybody can be average, then they actually have a shot. And that sounds bad, but in baseball, average is good.
Yeah.
You have to be, you know, slightly above average. If you can get everybody average and above on your team, starting lineup, maybe a couple of bench guys, you'll win. Because, I mean, baseball is a team sport, and if everybody can be playing on a good level, then your team will be playing on a good level. You know, you have guys that'll slump. So, I mean, the slumpers, you know, good hitters don't slump long. Shout out to Coach Haney. that's our high school baseball coach.
Sure is.
So, you know, if they can keep the slumps going, or keep the slump outages going, I guess is a good way to put that. Make a big move at the trade deadline and, you know, keep their mindset right. I think they got a shot.
So it raises the question, would you rather be a star for half of the season or be average for the whole season?
Average for the whole season. You know, what's average? 250? Hitting 250?
I don't know. I think that's below. I would say around. Nah, yeah, that's average.
We'll say 265 is average.
Yeah. Okay.
You hit 265 for 4 years. You get a little bit better. You hit 280 the next 2 years. You get a little bit better. You hit 300 for a whole season. You go back down to 265 for the rest of your career. You're a Hall of Fame player, no matter what.
And
I mean, that's like a 278 career batting average. That's one of the best you can get.
And that's, you pretty much defined Elvis right there.
I
love Gallo. I love Gallo. But the more I have just over this quarantine time, just looked at some of our Rangers players. I know we're not watching actual sports, but just,
yeah.
And I've just learned to appreciate Elvis more than any player that,
I mean, he has held down the starting shortstop job in an organization for more than 10 years. If that's not impressive, I don't know what is. I mean, nobody has come in via trade, via prospect, via however you come into an organization, nobody has come in and taken his spot. I mean, that proves loyalty and work ethic and personality. I mean, that just proves what being a baseball player is coming in, working every day for over 10 years straight and putting up good numbers.
He's good off on the field. He's good off the field. There's no one that hates the guy. And I feel like shortstop's kind of a fluky position where a lot of different players can move in and out of that position, just kind of like catcher, where you can see where for a 10-year span, you're probably not going to see the same catcher on the same team unless you're the Giants or some of these Hall of Fame catchers.
Yeah, Giants, Cardinals, teams like that.
But, I mean, those players don't come around all the time. And I'm not trying to say Elvis is a Hall of Famer, but I don't know. If he can continue to hit, let's say he hits 300, he's 31 or 30. Let's say he plays till 40 and hits 300 for the rest of his career. He's got about 1,700 hits. Because I was looking at Andrews' stats not too long ago because I really wanted to see what type of player he really is. I think if he can hit around 300, which I know is asking a lot, for the rest of his career, I think he is in the contention, personally.
Yeah.
As a wild card Hall of Famer.
Yes. Definitely not a first ballot.
No.
He just doesn't have that much talent. But the work that he puts in, I mean, it's been fun to watch him play. I mean, he's such a cool guy to watch play. You know, I've met him once or twice, you know, autographs, but I mean he was always very nice. You know, I would love to see the guy get in. And you know, you said he has what, 1,700 hits?
Yeah. 30.
And he's 30. So he could, you know, I mean he's been heating up, you know, with the lack of Beltre, he's kind of filled Beltre's position and been a little bit more of a power hitter, not quite Beltre's level of power, but Beltre didn't always hit for a whole lot of power. He always hit for more average and the home runs came with it. And so Elvis has kind of adapted that style of play as well. You know, last year he would, you know, for 3 days he would bat leadoff, and then the next 2 days he would bat four hole. You know,
yeah,
he's a very skilled player. It's fun to watch him play.
Yeah. So, I may have talked about this with you about Andrelton Simmons being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I don't want to just go out on this podcast and just throw out a bunch of Hall of Fame names, because Hall of Fame should be an exclusive class.
Yeah.
But when you are the best at doing something in baseball, maybe ever, I think you should be in the Hall of Fame, even if it's not as important as some of the other things that people do. And I think Andrelton Simmons is probably the best defender ever at shortstop. It's a big claim. There have been a lot of good shortstops.
Yeah. He is definitely up there. I mean, him, Ozzie Smith, you know, Omar Vizquel, they are all very, very good.
Troy Tulowitzki was really good.
He was, yeah. He had more of an arm than a glove, but
yeah,
definitely very good.
But anyway, let's move on to the NL East.
I think we need to talk about the Angels a little bit more, because oh, yeah, I have them at four and you have them at
one.
So I have
them at one.
Let me hear your reasoning on that.
So like I said earlier, I don't think MLB managers mean as much as they do in some of the other sports. Probably not, maybe even less than basketball. I don't know. That one's tough because basketball's so star.
I don't know. I mean, you take a look at Jeff Bannister. He coached three seasons here.
Three, I believe.
Won manager of the year his first year here, and then his second year could not to save his life figure out how to manage a bullpen. And our bullpen kept blowing games. Now, not all of that is on him,
Mr. Samuel Dyson,
but a lot of we don't want to talk about him. So not all of that is on him, but a large part of it is, because he had decent arms.
Yeah.
You know, and he would bring in the decent arms with the 4-run lead. But tight game, late innings, 1-run game, he would bring in Sam Dyson. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I was like 13, 14 there, and I was like, don't bring him in. And here he comes out of the bullpen. I'm like, I turned the TV off.
Yeah.
I would get the update on my phone. Rangers lose 10-9. Like, no shit, we lost. You brought in Sam Dyson. Like, I told you not to. Like, I would just call him up and be like, Jeff, don't bring him in. He's like, well, I believe in him this time. I was like, I don't.
I know.
Nobody does.
Well, it was almostly a meme at that point, how many games he had blown.
Yeah,
like, it was starting to become a joke.
I remember seeing one, and it was like, the Rangers trade Sam Dyson for a box of crackers and 10 bucks. And I'm like, I would take that trade.
I would take that.
Honestly.
Which, I mean, it sucks because he was so good the year that we went into the playoffs until, you know what. But,
yeah,
it was
unfortunate. And you know what? The last time I remember Dyson being good was the 2014 World Baseball Classic. He was lights out. Came in the regular season, couldn't throw a baseball. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, he was pitching to It was the 2017, not 2014, sorry, World Baseball Classic, and it was, you know, on quarantine TV the other day, and I was watching him, and he was coming in playing the Dominican team. You know, he was pitching to Machado and Beltre and Santana and all those elite hitters, and just sit him down 1-2-3. And I'm like, why couldn't you do that in the regular season?
For real, but Team USA for life, baby. We ain't going down. None of us.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I have the Angels. They have the best. They have the best player in the league. That's unanimous. If you say that anyone's better than Mike Trout, you are silly. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that is the definition. We talked about Andrews being a hard worker. That man is the hardest worker, and obviously he has the talent. So he has the talent, but he works with that talent and doesn't let it get to him. He's never been a bad person to anyone. He signs his autographs. Everyone loves Mike Trout.
Everybody loves Mike
but
Trout.
But back to my
– And I mean – well, I was just saying, like, even in the grand scheme of things, at the end of his career, he's a top three player all time, ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe even number one, depending on how he can finish out. I think that he has a real shot. You know, if he can hit above 300 for the rest of his career, I think he'll be good. He won't be a single season star as much as Ted Williams hitting 400 in a season. You know, I don't think he'll ever do that. But overall, with the speed, I mean, he's a true five-tool player. He's got the speed, the arm, the glove, the power, the contact. I mean, he has it all. So,
agreed. And my manager thing. So the Angels brought in Joe Maddon, one of the MLB's great minds to me. He was with the Rays.
Yeah, he's good.
Started a bunch of random things with the Rays. He went to the Cubs, where he would bat his
on the World Series. Yeah,
and just things like that and make enjoy me. I'm not. I mean, I like the Statcast stuff. I like the analytics stuff, and I assume he uses that. But real in-game things that he does, the shifts, and I'm not a huge fan of shifts. But if you're gonna use them and they work, good for you. He's big on shifts. He does all the things that even if his roster isn't as good as the other teams, he's going to put his team with the chance to win the game. And I think with that team that he has now, best player in the league, one of the best players in the league in their third baseman, Anthony Rendon. They have David Fletcher at second, an high OBS guy. That sounds right. Justin Upton. They got a top 10 prospect in Joe Adell, and it's just all on that. It's all going to be on that pitching. Can that team pitch?
That's what I'm worried about, you know, because, I mean, even back a couple years ago when the Angels were really, really, really trying to make that playoff push, you know, they traded for Kinsler.
Upton.
They got Zach Cozart. They got a couple of guys that were going to help them out, and they could not get it done. They didn't even make the wild card, and that's what they were trying to push for, was to make the wild card, and they just could not get it done. The Angels, for as long as I've been watching baseball, just have never been able to execute. And maybe Maddon will change that there in LA.
Yeah, I think back years ago they had coach Mike Socha, and they had Brad Ausmus either last 2 years or just last year. I think just a different manager, a smarter guy, a guy better with his bullpen, better with his rotation, may implement the opener thing. Who knows? I think he is the change that they needed, and I hope Shohei, if he pitches, I don't know if he'll pitch. Matters what Joe Maddon wants to do. But that team is so fun to just root for, even though they're in our division. I don't want them to be better than us, but they have probably my second best favorite player in the league. They have Shohei Ohtani, who's probably the most interesting player in the league. They have Anthony Rendon, the most slip-on player until last year. They have all these different players with accolades and things above their name that they're just a fun team to watch.
You know, they will be a fun team to watch and fun to watch them develop, but I can never root for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm going
to I can root for them. Mike Trout, but anybody else.
Yeah. And, I mean, it just sucks they're in our division, but it's how it goes.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to do this at halftime. So, we're half our league here. I don't know if you stayed and watched to the end, but I like to ask my guests random questions off the top of their head that aren't written down.
All right.
So, for, I'm going to ask more at the end, but do you think, this is one of them, do you think every team should have the same amount of money to be able to be spent? Like a salary, a unified salary cap?
You know, that is a good question. I have never thought about that before. You know, it's interesting to watch the Yankees, because the Yankees have so much money. They always have. They've always been able to buy and pay whoever they wanted on a, you know, reasonable level. Yeah. And then you watch people like the Tigers, and they have no money, no fans. They're in a terrible location, you know, in Detroit. There's no money in Detroit. Yeah. New York, tons of money, tons of people that want to watch baseball. You know, the Yankees are just so iconic that, of course, they want to watch the Yankees. They want to go to games. They want to buy jerseys. I mean, you know, and then you got the middle-of-the-road teams. Let's say, would be the Indians.
Middle-of-the-road.
You know, they're not terrible. They're not bad. They're not on an elite level, but they can still pull it off. To me, that's what baseball is all about. Working with what you have, developing who you have, and going out there playing as hard as you can, using your baseball IQ, you know, that plays in with the manager, and going in and winning. You know, them making it to the World Series over the Yankees had to feel good in 2016. You know, because the Yankees, they have so much history, so much money, you know, so many prospects, and you can go in there and beat them. To me, that feels better than winning, you know, I was going to say winning the World Series, but that's a lie.
Yeah, winning the World Series is awesome.
So, no, I don't think that everybody should be, have the same salary cap. You know, I think if you can go and turn in, you know, go to Miami, where nobody wants to go to a Marlins game. Nobody. Like, they will go to Marlins games, give up one run, and put paper bags over their heads because they don't want to be seen in Miami Marlins Park. Like, if you can go in there and turn that into a World Series caliber team, like they've done time and time again,
yep,
then I think that is more special. So
I couldn't agree more. I think it's baseball is the most, like, I think the most storylined thing that everyone wants, the storyline. MLB has been around for so long. The Yankees are so historic. The Red Sox are so historic. And I think if everyone was on the same salary cap, even though I would love to see the Yankees be bad,
Of course, everybody would.
Yeah, but if you go on, like, let's say a six-year run where the Yankees are not in the playoffs because they can't outspend everyone, I think that hurts baseball more than helps.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, you want to go on and move on to our NL East?
Yep.
All right, I got Braves 1, Nationals 2, Mets 3, Phillies 4, Marlins 5.
Say that again.
Braves 1.
Braves 1.
Nats 2. Mets 3. Phillies 4. Marlins 5.
Phillies 4. All right. So we have 1 and 5 together. So mine is Braves, Phillies, Nats, Mets, Marlins. And the Phillies second solely because of Joe Girardi. I think he is coming in there and he is ridding the disgusting mess that is Dave Kapler. He is a terrible manager. He is terrible.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the Phillies, they have a lot of talent, adding D.D. Gregorius this offseason. I think they have a lot of
Zach
talent.
Zach Wheeler also.
And I think Zach, yes, and Zach Wheeler. And, you know, Arrieta and Nola as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they can be a good team with the talent, you know, adding two seasons ago, Harper and Realmuto, you know, they have Hoskins and McCutcheon. I think that they can do it. I think that they can be a very good team without Dave Kapler.
So I totally forgot about Girardi, or how you say it?
Girardi.
So I would actually change. I wouldn't put them in two. I would put them in three above the Mets. I want the Mets to be good, but the Mets just always met. They always get injured.
You know, Syndergaard's out with Tommy
John.
Exactly.
It's already happened. We haven't even played baseball yet.
It happens all the time.
I don't.
You know, they were going to have, like, one of the greatest rotations of all time a few years ago with Syndergaard, DeGrom, Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler.
They were
going to
be potentially better than the not-too-long-ago Braves.
Yeah, and they just couldn't get it done. I mean, I don't think all four of those guys were healthy at one time.
No, I don't think they ever were.
So, I mean.
And Harvey's fallen off a cliff. Wheeler has been good, but he hasn't been what they thought he was going to be.
Yeah, he's never lived up to the expectation. I mean, he had a pretty good season last year, so it'll be fun to watch him. Yeah, it'll be fun to watch him bounce back in Philly if he can.
Steven Matz. Did you put Steven Matz in that top four?
Mm-mm, I didn't, but you're right, he is.
No, I don't think he is. I think he could have been, but he's one of those players that fell off.
Yeah, well, in the projected.
Yeah, the projected.
You know, that was projected to be one of the greatest starting rotations of all time, and it just wasn't.
I mean, can we both unanimously agree that Jacob DeGrom is probably the best pitcher in baseball?
I mean, back-to-back Cy Youngs is hard to argue with. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you can pick a best pitcher.
That's fair. Pitchers are very streaky.
Because, I mean, you look at DeGrom, back-to-back Cy Youngs, yes, he's amazing. But you can also look at Scherzer. Scherzer has been incredible his entire career. So, yeah. I mean, what do you want to base it on? Do you want to base it on wins? Do you want to base it on ERA? Do you want to base it on whip, strikeouts? I mean, it all depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say that DeGrom is up there, yes.
And would you have Scherzer over Gerrit Cole at the moment?
I do.
I think I do too. I like Gerrit Cole.
I mean, Yeah, I like Gerrit Cole. It's just hard to argue with Scherzer's 12-6. I mean, it is disgusting.
It's ridiculous. We both have the Mets, just because the Mets. I have the Nationals, too, and they're making the wild card for me. They're obviously the World Series champions last year on a very historic run. They probably weren't the team that was supposed to, they definitely weren't the team that was supposed to win it all. I can tell you that much.
No, I mean, they won it on a wild card. Yeah. You know, beat the Dodgers, number one seed, and, you know, it was a really good story.
And it was one of my favorite playoffs to watch from the last few years.
It was good, especially since the freaking Astros won.
For real. If they would have won that and all this stuff would have came out, would have hurt.
I have the Nats fourth in the wild card. I have them third in the division. Basically, my theory on this is, you know, last year they had the oldest average age of their team. Everybody got older and they lost Rendon. Simply that. You know, I think the Phillies got better and the Nationals just didn't. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to be a bad team, but I'm saying that they won't be at the caliber that they were last year. Losing Rendon, however, signing Strasburg, keeping Scherzer, they still have Robles and Soto.
Trey Turner.
And Howie. And Trey Turner. I mean, they're still going to be a good team. I just don't think that they'll be what they were last year.
Do you know off the top of your head if the Mets added anyone big?
Dylan Betances.
Okay. I knew they had added. I mean, that's not bad. That's good for them. I figured they had improved from the team, and then they lost Syndergaard, so they've already gone back down. But we both can say the Marlins 5. I mean, I think they're
– And the Braves 1.
Braves 1, yeah. I mean, the Braves are ridiculous.
They are very good. Their only problem was, well, now not October, but whenever October would roll around, would they be able to execute? Because they have a very young core. You know, last year we thought they were going to go farther than they did, and they didn't. You know, now having a little bit of playoff experience, does that change? You know, it could be a... It'll be a fun team to watch.
It's going to be a fun team to watch for years to come because that team is young.
Yeah, I mean, they got Acuña and Ozzie.
Their third baseman is only in his second year, Austin Riley.
Yeah, and Dansby. I mean, he's got to get his bat going, but, man, he can field.
Yeah,
you know, Freddie is technically a veteran. He's going to be their veteran presence. Then he is still raking. He's not showing any signs of slowing down. So, I mean, and you got Markakis and...
Markakis, one of MLB's most underrated players. I'm going to say that here now.
And Endurin Ciarte to play center. That dude has a hell of a glove, too.
He does. And I think they can pitch pretty well. I mean, they got Mike Soroka.
Yeah, Soroka.
Mike Fedowitz, or however you say his name. I don't know a lot of their pitchers, but I know that it's enough to get it done.
They're all pretty underrated, but they always get the job done.
Yeah, and I don't have anything else to say about this division. Like I said, I have the Nats winning the wild card. Do you have a wild card this division?
In a wild card, I have the Phillies on the road.
Okay. All right, let's go to our NL Central. I have the
You know what? Let's do the NL Central last, because that is going to be a fun talk.
MLB's let's best do the NL division, West. And me and Chance have already talked about this a little bit. So
I think our NL West is going to be the exact same too.
Really? I don't think so at all.
Go ahead. All
right, so our NL West is Dodgers, Padres, Rockies, Diamondbacks, Giants.
I have Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants, which, I mean, those teams could be interchangeable. I was sitting there and I was thinking, I was like, well, they're not very good. Neither one of them. I think, the breakout season of Ketel Marte and signing Madison Bumgarner is what puts the Diamondbacks ahead of the Rockies. And, I mean, the Rockies, playing in Colorado and they can't pitch. Those things, they don't go together
at all.
So,
I know I just said earlier I don't want to talk about another Hall of Famer. Can we talk about Madison Bumgarner being on the edge? What, three World Series rings?
Three, yeah. And he's been lights out every single one.
And his regular season stats are probably number one ace material. He has been doing it for a while. And if he continues throughout his career, I don't know how you can turn down the three rings, great postseason presence, and pretty good regular season presence.
I mean, you simply can't. I mean, he's fallen off a little off of his game from what he was, but he's old. That's what happens. He's a veteran now. So, I mean, it's very expected, and I think he's had a fantastic career. I mean, 2010, that'll always hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. They almost swept us, but, nothing hurts like game 6, 2011.
I don't want to think about it. But so, do you have a wild card in this division? I'd assume not.
I do not. No.
I think the Padres are definitely going to make the jump up. We both have them making the jump up. I mean, they got really good pieces on that team.
They do, with Tatis and Mejia. I think Mejia is underrated. Switch hitting catcher for them. Got him from the Indians.
He was so underrated that I didn't even know who you were talking about there. Right. You had to say what position he was playing before I even knew who that was.
Yeah, he's their catcher right now. They got Hosmer and Kinsler retired, so that'll be a hole to fill. But they still got Machado and
Will Myers.
Yeah,
they still got Kirby
Will Myers
Yates.
Is also underrated.
Yeah,
they just need some starters, but
yeah,
they'll be good and pretty soon.
And so we had the interchangeable Rockies and Diamondbacks. They're interchangeable for me too. I think the Rockies can hit like no other. They have one of the best third basemen in the league and Nolan Arenado. Their shortstop Trevor Story's top 10.
David Murphy at second.
Yeah,
second or first.
Very underrated, I think. Even though he's not a very good fielder, he can hit for average, and that's all you really need. David Dahl, really good young player.
Charlie Blackman.
Chuck Nasty.
Yeah.
Who is actually older than I thought he was. He's like 35.
How old is he?
Yeah.
Really?
It was shocked me.
Oh, I would have said like 30.
Yeah, I would have said that also.
Maybe 27 or something. Interesting.
But he definitely, I don't think he's showing age yet. I don't think he had a very good year last year, but the years before that, he was the Chuck Nasty. And
yeah, I mean, he was that 2017, or maybe it was 2016, but he led the National League in RBIs as a leadoff man.
Jeez.
Like, that really doesn't happen ever. So, I mean, he's very good.
Yeah. And
Now he can't field
he's
whatsoever.
Horrible.
But...
I don't understand. He's JD Martinez in the National League. I don't know if I'd give him that much, but JD Martinez is a bad fielder.
He is. All right, let's talk about the NL Central one. This will be
I
good.
Want you to start it off.
All right. So winning the division, your 2016 World Series champions, the Chicago Cubs. Second place, and in my opinion, winning the wild card, the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
Third place is the Cardinals. Fourth place is the Brewers. And the Cardinals and the Brewers, I think that could go either way. I'm going to leave that one up to injuries and road. Same way I'm doing with the White Sox and Indians. And then fifth out of the Pirates, obviously.
Okay. So, I think I may have made Chance come around on the Reds. He probably looked into them a little bit more whenever you were making this.
You know, I did. It's funny. I'm doing the NL Central collection on MLB The Show. And they have so many underrated, very good players. You know, Eugenio Suarez has got to be one of the best power bats in the league. And he is good. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Real quick, I have Cardinals winning the division. I have the Reds getting the wild card. I have the Cubs missing the wild card. They're the third team. I have the Brewers, who are also the fourth wild card. So this team has three wild card potentials. And then I have the Pirates.
Yeah, so why do you think the Cards are good?
I want to hit on the Cardinals so bad. I do, but I can't let my vendetta against them put – I think they can pitch well. I think they can hit well. I don't currently know their head coach or their manager's name. I just think they'll be a good team. I mean, I don't really have a ton to say behind it. I think they have what you said earlier. I think they had the average players that are going to play average throughout the year, maybe not the stars. But I think it's enough to put them over the Reds, the Cubs. You had Cubs number one. Is that correct?
I did.
I think losing Joe Maddon is huge.
Losing Joe Maddon is a big X factor. But you can't deny their talent. You know, Baez, Rizzo, KB, Contreras behind the plate. I mean, Hayward, Kyle Hendricks. You know, they have a very good team. But the Cardinals are interesting because the Cardinals, even last year, nobody expected them to be good, but they were good. They're kind of like the A's in that sense. Yeah. You know, like Matt Carpenter had his August, and he lit the baseball field on fire. He poured kerosene all over the stadium and struck a match. That dude could hit anything. The baseball was looking like a grapefruit.
And that makes
him.
Me so happy.
I mean,
being a TCU alumni.
Yeah. I mean, he's always been good. I think he's fallen off the last couple of years, but that August that he had last year, dear Lord, the dude hit like 430 for a month straight. Like, that was ridiculous. Like, he had like three or four four-hit games. He had a couple of games where he would hit like three doubles. I mean, it was insane. So if they can get like one or two guys to do that each for a month, you know, maybe they could win the division. I'm still going to put the Reds at second, though. I think the Reds are a solid wild card team. I think they
are.
Yeah,
real quick, Matt Carpenter is kind of known for being super streaky. He's done that his whole career.
Yeah.
He'll have a really good month. But earlier in his career, the fall off wasn't as huge. Nowadays, it's starting to be the fall off is a lot worse after he's had a good amount of time.
Yeah.
And it sucks because Matt Carpenter's one of my favorite players, even though he's on the team that I hate just because he's a TCU alumni. That's literally it. But yeah, Reds at two, a top five rotation in the league. Underrated players.
Just a really solid lineup.
Do you know how to say that guy's name? I know that's bad. I think their left fielder, Aquino?
Aristides,
yes.
Aquino? Whenever he broke in the league, he was hitting tanks.
Absolute nukes.
Two weeks later, he forgot how to hit.
That is also true.
So I think missing spring training for him because of the virus is key. That is going to be huge. If he is not like at home, like setting up a tee, getting some work in the cages whenever he can, I think if he can't figure it out, the Reds will suffer. I believe that wholeheartedly because, I mean, if he can continue playing half of what he was playing the first week he was in the league, he hit like what, 10 home runs in a week? He hit
like 10 or 11 homers in like a week and a half. It was ridiculous. Every game he was hit.
If he can play half of that, I think the Reds will be outstanding.
Yeah, and they have a lot of X factors. Canadian boy Joey Gallo,
you know,
or Votto, sorry.
Joey Votto.
Joey Votto,
you know, Luis Castillo kind of emerged as a star last year. I think he's going to be pretty
Trevor
good.
Bauer is going to continue to be good. Year.
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a good team. So who do you have in the NL wild card? Reds winning. Who's the road team?
The road team is the Nationals. Even though I just loved on the Nationals a ton, I don't think that they're going to win that wild card.
No, I don't either. I have the Phillies on the road. Cardinals in third place in the wild card, and Nats in fourth place in the wild card. I think the Reds have got that locked up, though.
And obviously, all this is based off of if we get a full season, things aren't – this is just off of pure hopeful that we can have just a good season.
Yeah. And, you know, no major injuries. Like, Cody Bellinger doesn't, like, break his femur and is out for a year or
something.
Yeah,
we don't
like
want
that,
any of
so.
That. Injuries just aren't fun. For anyone, obviously the player, but
no.
Injuries can change the landscape of your team very quickly. We've seen that with the Mets so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. You want to get into some of our questions?
Sure.
Okay. So this is on the basis that we usually are going to have the 162 schedule game or season.
All right.
Would you want to see less MLB teams or less MLB games in a season?
Is this just
no,
for
this is
season
just for
or
the rest
a total?
Of the rest of forever. Not this pretend coronavirus isn't a thing. This is just coming in based off of ratings and other things. Should the season be shortened?
You know, I have never heard of an MLB player coming out and saying they wanted a shorter season. You hear it in the NBA all the time. Those dudes whine and whine and whine and whine about playing 82
games. NBA players
games.
Are poons. They are so annoying.
And MLB players play 162 games. Their arms are sore. You know, they may get cleated and have a huge-ass bruise on their shins, but they go out there and they play. They put the work in, and it is so sweet, you know, seeing a whole 162 game season come to a close and going into the postseason in October and, you know, seeing the All-Star game. It's amazing, you know, because you can look at the Nationals last year having the 19-32 start that they did in a shorter season. They're done. They're out. They're packing their bags. They're trading people. They're cutting salaries. They're done. But in a 162-game season, they turned it around and won the World Series. And I think that's going to be my closing point right there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me. I don't like going around and changing things. I think we can both agree that Rob Manfred is awful.
He's not great.
The worst commissioner that I got. Actually, Roger Goodell is awful.
Nah, I got Goodell there.
But, yeah, we've both been screwed over by Goodell a good amount.
Yeah, me more than you. But
you're a Saints fan. You lost your whole playoff run because of Goodell. I mean, the refs, but
yeah,
who hires those refs? It's Roger.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to give you 10 seconds to answer it. Think you can do
okay.
That?
Okay. Sure, yeah.
All right, I want your World Series prediction. Teams and winning.
All right, if Clayton Kershaw cannot wet the bed like he does every year, I have Dodgers in
against.
Seven. If he does wet the bed, I have Yankees in six.
Jeez, you have the big powerhouses going at it this year.
Yeah, dude. I just can't deny them. The Dodgers have been cheated out of two World Series, now trading for Betts and for Price. I mean, I can't argue with that lineup. It is all up to Kershaw, in my opinion. Kershaw in the regular season is fantastic. He's been the greatest pitcher for the past 12 years. He has been fantastic. But in the postseason, he loses it.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
He can't figure it out. If he can figure it out, if he can finally nut up for one of his last chances in the World Series, they'll do it. But if he can't, and what's Dave Roberts gives him the start in game two. I'm assuming Buehler will get the start in game one. If he gives him the start in game two and game, what would that be, four, five? Then no. You know, I think the Yankees have too much of a powerful lineup.
For anyone that tries to say that one player doesn't impact an MLB team, even because we have 25 on the team, or I guess 26 now after this past year they extended it, is just crazy and wrong. One player can change your whole landscape of the season and playoffs if it's a good enough player.
It can, but it won't always. It's not as drastic. You know, take LeBron James away from the Lakers and take Mike Trout away from the Angels. The Angels will do better by far, because it's more of a team sport. You know, everybody's picking each other up. But if you can't pass it to LeBron in the fourth quarter, the Lakers are going to lose.
I can agree with that. But my point is, for pitchers, I can't think of if David Price is a good playoff pitcher. I think he isn't. I think he's also in the Clayton Kershaw line, but I don't feel like they would have traded for him if he was. So I can't fact check.
I'm going to look up his.
I'm pretty sure he's been to the playoffs with the Rays, I believe, with the Red Sox, I believe. And I feel like he got torched with the Red Sox. But I'll go on to my point while you're doing that. So they'll probably give Walker Buehler game one. They'll probably give Kershaw game two. And then I would assume like David Price or Kenta Maeda game three. If Clayton Kershaw gets destroyed his game two, that hurts team morale. And then does Dave Roberts go back to him later in the series if he can't pitch? So it changes a ton of stuff, especially when you can't bring up minor league players to come pitch or play. You are stuck with the roster you have.
So, So Price's postseason stats, he's started 9 games, lost 8 of them, 1 no decision, and an ERA of 5.03.
Yeah. That's just not good. I thought he was bad.
He has 2 playoff wins in relief.
Maybe they'll.
So I mean, reliever. if they want to give Maeda game three and use Price as a bullpen arm like the Astros did with Charlie Morton in the 2017 World Series, I think that they can get it going. But, you know, if Kershaw gives up 6 runs in the first inning of game two and they lose, you know, the second game at home, that gives the Yankees momentum going back to New York, and they'll take it. They don't have no problem beating the crap out of you.
Do MLB teams only go 3 pitchers deep in the playoffs, 3 starters?
In the World Series, you want your best guys up there. So that's what I would do. I wouldn't want my 5th guy starting game 5.
Yeah, I just thought it was top 4 that would go out there. But when I think about it, if I'm the Rangers,
you know, it depends on
3 deep.
It depends on what Dave Roberts wants to do. You know, if he wants to have Buehler and Kershaw start the 2 home series, have Maeda start Road Series game 1, I would go right back to Buehler, because he's had like 4 or 5 days rest. So
yeah, I can agree to that. I don't think I have any other questions. Do you have anything else to say?
Go Rangers.
Yes, sir, go Rangers. I think we did good with our divisions today, and I hope I don't think either of us said anything super controversial. There's always something controversial in one of my podcasts. Like, in my college playoff ones, I had App State making the playoffs. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got the hate for that one. Boom said the Browns were going to win the Super Bowl. He got hate for that one.
He's retarded, I guess. I don't know.
Sorsby said something last episode. He had David Johnson as a top 10 running back. Yeah. You do what you want with that. But I think this is a good episode. Chance, I hope you come back on very soon. You definitely have the open invite.
Thank you for having me.
You don't really have an Instagram or Twitter, so.
No.
But.
If you see me, I'm a big, tall dude. I'm ripped. I have a six-pack and chiseled chest. Say hi to
me. Yeah, he actually bought me a Ferrari.
Yeah. If you want a Ferrari, hit me
up. All right. Good stuff.